Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen, rocking with you until noon. Then we will hand it off to D-Lo and KC, and then we'll take you up to 4 o'clock right here on Sacramento Sports Leader. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. James Hamm there, Kyle Madsen here. The Kings in action tonight at Golden 1 Center against the Miami Heat. I talked about it a little bit earlier. Good spot to get the Heat in. They're in shambles.
Oh, they're a hot mess.
I don't feel bad for them, but they're in a, I don't envy the decision makers in Miami, Pat Riley specifically.
I told you this.
What do you do?
I was sitting courtside with Paul Westphal my first year towards the end of the season, and I looked over, and they had they were playing the Utah Jazz. They had just traded Darren Williams, and Jerry Sloan was like in his last couple of games coaching. And I looked over at that team, and I said, man, I just feel so bad for Jerry Sloan, like, to go out like this. Like, he's been so great for so many years, and like, look at how bad this team is. Because that team that they played that night was so bad. And Paul looked at me and said, James, have you looked at my roster? He's like, if you feel bad for him, what do you feel for me? And I'm like, all right. Good point. Good point, Paul. Good point. R.I.P. Paul Westphal.
Jimmy Butler clearly wants out. The solution is clearly to trade Jimmy Butler. But there's just no way you're getting back anything of note by dealing this version of Jimmy Butler at this point.
I mean, it's so expensive to trade him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you want a Zach LaVine, okay. But even that, the Bulls aren't trading for Jimmy Butler.
Bringing Jimmy Butler back.
They've lived through that experience.
And you want to drop Jimmy Butler into a rebuilding situation?
No.
No chance.
No, so you have to look around the league, though. It's got to be players like that. I mean, that's why you heard the Bradley Beal stuff pop up.
Yeah, like Phoenix is it.
But Bradley Beal has a full no-trade clause, and so he gets to decide if he wants to go to South Beach or not. And if I'm him, I'm like, why not? This is a bad version of the Phoenix Suns, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're benching two players today, Nurkic and one other. Is it Bradley Beal they're sending to the bench? They're sending two dudes to the bench. Mason Plumlee is now their starting center.
Sure.
And, like, it's like, okay, it's a mess of a team, too, so... If I'm them, I don't really know what it is that they have to do. Yeah, they're sending Bradley Beal and Yusuf Nurkic to the bench. Ryan Dunn and Mason Plumlee expected to start for the Phoenix Suns. So, again, like, Bradley Beal might go, hey, if I'm going to lose games, at least I'll lose in South Beach and say I'll take that trade. But I don't know.
No thanks.
Yeah.
Sounds terrible. Miami Heat have lost their last two. The Kings have won their last four. How do the Kings get to five wins in a row? We'll tell you now with keys to victory. James Hamm, what is your first key to victory for the Sacramento Kings tonight?
Man, I wish I had all my keys ready to roll, but here they are. Show up for the home crowd. This team is about to head out for most of January. They've got a 3-game road trip. They come back for a couple, but then a 6-game road trip. Like, this fan base has been waiting for you to wake up and keep it rolling, you know, mm-hmm. show some pride at home and start to show that that is where you're going to, like, improve.
Yep.
Like, improve at home.
Yep. Number one for me goes along with that a little bit. You got to get up early in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you did last night. Put a team away early. Like, that is going to be, to me, when we talk about is the mindset of this team really changed? Are the Kings really different, or are they just hot right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's a question that I'm currently grappling with. Like, hey, are they just knocking down a bunch of threes the last couple of nights and they've been able to roll a bad team and then beat a shorthanded team? And if they hadn't knocked down threes, those games look like, I don't know. But if they get out to a fast start tonight, and they just kind of steamroll Miami, especially mm-hmm. since Sacramento's on the second night of a back-to-back. Miami hasn't played since Saturday. That, to me, would signal a pretty significant mindset shift. And I don't know that Miami has the gumption at this point to really fight back if you get up by 15 or 18 early.
No, I totally think that you're playing a team that at this moment is broken.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Steve Kerr made a really good point when he was talking about Mike Brown last night. Mm-hmm. He's like, things are bad in Miami right now, but do you think that they're going to go fire Eric Spoelstra? The answer is no. Mm-hmm. They've got to like jettison Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
And they did. I mean, they gave him a 7-game suspension, mm-hmm. which is going to be fought, and then, like, he's going to get part of that money back or whatever, mm-hmm. I'm sure. But at the same time, like, this is a moment where you have a team that's struggling. And so I do think this is one of those games where, yeah, you have to go out and just continue your trend, and mm-hmm. they will continue their trend, and then you'll figure out Boston on Friday.
Yep.
That's it. Like, you have to play hard right here, and you got to go get this win.
Yep. Number two.
Keep the momentum. I keep saying this. You got Boston. You got Chicago. You got Milwaukee coming up. And then the 6-game road trip is crazy. This comes 6 or 7-game road trip that's coming up. You're going to have some moments here where you can catch your breath, and, you know, there will be one or two, like, bad games or bad teams. But for the most part, the group of teams that you're going to play here coming up, man, you're going to be tested. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Kings at 2 games under 500, that's not where you want to be. You got to find a way to scrap and claw and, you know, keep the momentum rolling, because I would much rather be riding a 5-game winning streak going to Boston, yep. than worrying about whether I'm going to go 4 games under 500 again.
Yeah. I didn't realize that Boston game is not till Friday.
Yeah. They got a little break here.
Yeah.
Time for, you know, to get some things done. Time to make a trade. I don't know.
What?
Maybe make a trade so you have a couple of days to have players clear.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but I don't view every game as like, oh my God, you need to win tonight, but this would be a really good one to get.
Yeah.
For sure. Number two for me, you can have this game be a little bit messy, turnovers, crazy, frenetic. As long as the pace is up, the Kings are winning. That's the number one thing. Miami is the slowest team in the league.
Mm.
They do not want to get up and down. So go get up and down. You turn it over a couple of times, you throw a couple of bad passes, they get a couple of buckets in transition, so be it. As long as you're playing fast, you're going to win.
No, I that's a really good point, and I'll tell you that the way the NBA works, they don't care about like lining up slow teams and fast teams. Like, the Kings just played like the number one pace team, mm-hmm. like 2 games ago, and now you're playing the slowest.
Yep.
It's about you. It's not about them.
Yep.
And that's one thing that I know Doug has been preaching. It's about us and going out there and playing our game, and mm-hmm. that's big.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think when the Kings are running, they are at their very best. Number three.
Let Malik Monk loose.
Mm.
Like, what we saw last night, 26 points, 12 assists. Like, I'm not saying he needs to do that every night, but there needs to be 10 minutes in every single one of these games where it's Domantas Sabonis and Malik Monk in a two-man game destroying teams.
Yep.
Like, good old-fashioned Stockton Malone.
Yep.
That's what, like, they can, he can score from anywhere on the court. His ability to hit that pocket pass to Sabonis is crazy. Mm-hmm. They have got to figure out a way to get that pairing together and working for, like, big stretches of the game where mm-hmm. Fox goes off the court and it's nothing but Malik Monk and Domantas Sabonis. But let him run this team for large stretches of the game.
Yeah, man. And the thing with Monk specifically is A, I think he... This is separate, but I don't think anybody on the team quite recognizes a moment like he does.
Yeah.
Like, this is where a three here is a dagger. I'm going to go get this three up. And he's not going to shy away from the shot. All of that said, I also don't think he's reckless. And that's why I'm right there with you, man. Let Malik Monk be the dude here and there. Not trying to fit in between, oh, DeMar DeRozan and De'Aaron Fox, and okay, we got to run the ball through Domas here, and Keegan's got to get his shots up. Not any of that. It's just, here, Malik, you're the point guard. Ball's in your hands. You're going to initiate. If it's scoring, if it's passing, doing whatever, I'm right there with you. I fully trust Malik Monk to do the right things in those spots.
Yep.
And the Kings are very clearly better when he's doing it.
Oh, yeah. He's incredible. Incredible, yep. In the pick and roll. Yep.
Good player. Number three for me, stay hot from three.
Mm-hmm.
44.7% against Memphis, 44.2% last night against Golden State. If you shoot 44% from three and you're hoisting 40 of them a game, you're going to win a lot of those games.
That's right.
We talked about that scoring margin for the Kings and how they were losing the 3-point line by 15 every single night. Well, if you're hoisting 40 and you're shooting 40+%, you're gonna win the 3-point line more nights than not.
That's right.
So flipping that math, that's just forget basketball strategy and all that. That's just basic math.
Mm-hmm.
Three is more than two.
Getting outscored by 15 points every night from the 3-point line is a recipe for a loss.
Yeah, you're going down 15-0 basically.
Yeah, will lose.
Not a good way to win games.
80% of the games that you're going to get outscored by 15 from the 3-point line.
Yeah. I think they win tonight. You talked momentum earlier. I think they're in a good spot. I think they're going to go win. Give me Kings 118, Miami 101.
Yeah, I'm with you. How about that?
118-101.
We'll just say it right there.
All right, take it to the bank. He's James. I'm Kyle. Kings looking to extend their winning streak to 5 games tonight against Miami. We'll dig into that game tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Insiders, right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. You mentioned in there talking trade. You started floating, hey, maybe a good time to make a trade.
Yeah.
I feel like the trade conversation is a lot different now. I still think they need to make one. I still think length athleticism is still a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Or certainly will be a problem when you get into these games against Oklahoma City, against Boston, when you get into the games against the best of the best. But also, my worry out of this is that the last few nights is ammunition for Monty McNair and Wes Wilcox to go, all right, well, let's hang on. Everybody slam the pause button on all the trade stuff. We got to see what this looks like now.
Mm.
Devin Carter's back and healthy. He's making an impact. Let's got to see what Devin Carter's doing. Oh, Kevin Huerter knocked down some shots last night. Okay, hang on. Maybe this is the scoring. Trey Lyles is back. Trey Lyles is knocking down shots again. He's going to be the backup five. Okay, we like this. Everybody just hang on. I am terrified that's what's going to happen.
That can't be what happened.
It cannot, dude.
You still see the flaws.
Yes.
Like
the
sure.
Vibes are up right now. That doesn't mean they're perfect.
No, and they ran over a Golden State team that just looked listless and not ready to play. I don't know what
they
was going on.
They should fire
there.
Their coach.
Yeah. But just go back to the Philly game last week and remember what happened when Keegan Murray was out and Paul George was mm-hmm. just like running roughshod over you. Like it was not good.
Yep.
Like you have got to figure out a way to build the depth, the athleticism, the length, this just purely you need taller people.
It sounds so rudimentary because we're so deep in the weeds with basketball analysis now.
Yeah.
You can talk about usage rate and PER and offensive rating and defensive rate and all these insane numbers. Raptor, whatever the hell that is. Still don't know what Raptor is. I just know people smarter than me cite it. But sometimes, like basketball, at its very base level, is about tall people.
Yeah.
And having more tall people is better than having less tall people.
Yeah, and, you know, we can always go to the Jared Reynolds saying,
fewer
right?
tall people.
You need, are you a tall person who plays basketball or a basketball player who happens
who
to
is,
be tall?
Right.
They need basketball players who happen to be tall. Yes. They don't have a lot of those.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard to mask that. And for me, it's about a 7-game series. If you can get to the playoffs,
that's it.
It's about who are you going to match up against and how are you going to stop when they have a bunch of dudes who are 6'9" with 7'2" wingspans
mm-hmm.
that play, that are starters, that like you got to go up against, whether it's Denver, whether it's Minnesota, whether it's OKC. I don't mm-hmm. care who it is. Every team has a surplus of this type of player. Dallas, the Clippers, like they mm-hmm. all have those players. The Kings don't. And you got to find those players. That's it.
The small ball revolution worked when the guys who were most of the guys who were 6'9" and above couldn't really hang.
Yeah.
Where it was a bunch of 6'7" to I should say 6'10" and above. Couldn't really. It was a bunch of 6'7" to 6'9" guys. Switchable on defense, knocking down threes. It didn't matter that you didn't have a center because you were going to be able to run the other center off the court because they couldn't move. That was the Warriors that really started that, and the Rockets who really started that. It was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
They've had a decade to adjust, and now all of a sudden you have so many players who are 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", and super skilled. Well, all of a sudden, the being small thing, it might work for a stretch here and there, but you just have teams that are so much better at combating it.
Yeah, if you're super long and athletic at the college game, but you can't shoot the three, you don't get drafted.
Yep.
That's it. Yep. Like, and the NBA will work with some guys, but you better have every other skill. Yep. The fact that the Kings haven't been able to load up on that style of player.
It's honestly, I would love to ask Monty and Wes about that, the GM and the assistant GM. Because it feels like every team that comes into Sacramento or that Sacramento goes to visit, we talk about, man, they found this guy, this undrafted guy. They found this guy in the second round. Oh, this is a 27th overall pick who just plays 28 minutes a night and he's awesome. And they're all 6'9", and they all have 7'5" wingspans and they all hit threes and they all play defense. How does every team find these guys except Sacramento?
I don't know, but
it's insane.
Like, if we're just looking at like the 3-4 combo guy, right? Mm-hmm. The 6'7", 6'8". You could say Robert Woodard, we could lump in this a little bit, but I think Robert Woodard was 6'5", a little over 6'5", with a long wingspan. The only other guy that the Kings have brought in is Jalen Slauson.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like, in the second round. Like that's not good.
Isaiah Crawford.
Okay.
Maybe.
6'5", 6'6", undrafted.
Isaac Jones?
But Isaac Jones, again, undrafted.
Right.
Like, that's what I mean. Like, you have to go out and find these guys.
Yeah.
And, like, an undrafted player, that's not a slight on these guys, but their path to the league is different. Mm-hmm. Their path to the league is going through the G League.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up. So, yeah, I mean, Isaiah Crawford, yeah, I'm okay with him. But 2 years from now, after he's played in the G League a ton and learned, you know, the pace and speed and everything else, like, develop some of his other skills. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not where the Kings are as a franchise.
Ben's little bro says, Keon, 6'5". Would love a Keon who's 6'8".
Yeah.
And I know that sounds silly. It's like, it's a 3-inch height difference. It matters, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
There's a reason the Pelicans went 6-0 against the Kings last year.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, and you bring up the Pelicans, it's literally his college teammate. It's Keon's college teammate that we're talking about. Like,
Herb Jones.
You need Herb Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what the Kings need. They need a Herb Jones.
Yep.
Like, they don't need a superstar small forward. They just need somebody like a Herb Jones, like a Derrick Jones Jr., like a Najee Marshall. Like, there are a lot of these types of players out there, Terrence Mann, that are just, like, really good basketball players. Yep. Even Dorian Finney-Smith. Like, we're talking about a guy who averaged, like, 6 or 7 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a player that would really help the Kings. Now, if you can get a better version, if you can go get a Cam Johnson, okay. But, I people need to know that, like, Cam Johnson is, like, Harrison Barnes 2.0. Like,
almost identically.
He's a very good player. But at the same time, you can't, like, change your expectations completely of the team. Mm-hmm. It's just they need more of that quality of depth, that like, level of NBA player that they just can't seem to find at that position.
Do you think, so we've seen two games of Devin Carter, mixed results, but you see where the impact can come in on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Pesky defender, just an outstanding rebounder. Just a really good feel for that aspect of the game. Got to work on the three-point shot a little bit. It's very, very slow. But
very slow, and it scrapes the bottom of the scoreboard every single time.
Yeah. Do you think that Devin Carter playing makes the Kings more or less likely to trade him?
I mean, it's got to be the right deal. And, of course. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think maybe one thing they're doing is they're showing right now that, like, he's able to play.
Yeah.
Like, he's ready to step on the court.
And the reason, just real quick, sorry. Yeah. The reason I bring this up is not because I think I want to get rid of Devin Carter. We had just talked about before he returned that the trade discussions with the Brooklyn Nets, because of the Kings' lack of draft capital available, involved Devin Carter.
Yeah, I mean, there were murmurs that it started to involve him.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard also, I think Mark Stein put out this weekend, the Kings are not yet willing to put Devin Carter, prized rookie Devin Carter, in any trade. Like, look, I don't know that that's completely the case, but I think for right now, you need to prove up like who he is, whether it's for you or for somebody else. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Like you've got to see what he's got as a player. And like the rebounding thing to me is like wild. Like it's uncanny how good he is as a rebounder.
Yeah.
Like you watch it all the time and all of a sudden it's these long arms that just fly mm-hmm. out of nowhere and snatch the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like whatever, however he
learned.
Such
good feel.
Yeah, it's a feel thing, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always, like, with shot blocking, you can have a 7'2" dude who can't block shot at all.
Yeah.
You know, but...
Happens a lot somehow.
Yeah, and then it used
like,
to be,
bro,
like,
put a hand up.
Malik Monk is an outstanding shot blocker for mm-hmm. a guard. Like, you don't have to be super tall to block a shot. You have to have good timing and instincts for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think rebounding is kind of the same way. Mm-hmm. You know, there are guys who have come in the league, like Kevin Love, who doesn't jump over a phone book, but averaged 13 assists a game for a couple of seasons. Like,
yeah.
Just so good. Like, Dennis Rodman could just read where the ball was going off the rim. And so, yeah. Yeah, just, like, and for me...
No, when if you're a guard and you're on the baseline and you see a guy shoot a floater, you can tell the way that floater comes off his hand.
Yep.
Whether, oh, that's going to be long, that's going to go this way. Or that's going to be short, I'm going to get up in front of it. There's a, like, watch him rebound. Like, next, if you're going to the game tonight, watch just Devin Carter on defense. And when he goes in for a rebound, it's just, you can tell it's not even basketball IQ. It's just an innate feel for the game.
It also is the fact that he is attempting. You know, we mm-hmm. talked about that funny line that Jerry Reynolds had about Kevin McHale. Kevin McHale, you know, was asked about his rebounding, and he said, mm-hmm. "Oh, I'm a horrible rebounder." It's like, what do you mean? He's like you average more rebounds a game than Larry Bird. It's like, yeah, because he goes for 8 rebounds a game and he gets 8. He's like, I go for 25 and I get 9. He's like, so no, I'm not good at it. And for me, that's part of it with Devin is that he's trying to go get the rebound all the time. You're like, hey, look at, there he goes. Mm-hmm. Or you don't even notice him. All of a sudden you see these long arms leap up at 2 hands every time, snatch the ball out of the air.
Yep.
You're like, look at that. Where did he come from?
Yep.
Yeah. So really, really interesting player. But at the end of the day, Kyle, if you're a team that needs to get better right now and you have a surplus of guards, and Keon Ellis is also playing extremely well, mm-hmm. maybe there is a way that you still do look at it. But, I mean, it might cost more now than it did before. And, you know, at the same time, the Nets were sitting on Cam Johnson, waiting. Dude rolls his ankle.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, today's price is not yesterday's price.
Yep.
Like, so I don't know what you're going to do there. You need to, you know, adjust, you know, any trade with the mm-hmm. Nets lost some value. And that's where you instantly hear the Nets come out and say, oh, well, we would love to build around Cam Johnson. It's like, a dude will be 29 in like a month and a half.
I'm sure you would love that.
We would love to build around. He can be part of the next build. We're retooling. We're not rebuilding.
I've never seen a team like actively in the playoff hunt trying so hard to tank.
You just traded 2 of your rotational players for picks. Don't tell me that you're trying to win games. We all understand what the scoreboard is.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, wild.
Before we get out of here, Mitch in New Jersey is on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Mitch, what's up?
What's popping, guys? Hope you guys had a good weekend.
Had a great weekend.
What's up, Mitch?
Well, games, my boy, Sam Darnold, did not look good last night. But I'm thinking the Chargers are going to surprise somebody. I think it's going to be Chargers in Detroit. Chargers, the defense is terrific. I think they can stop Kansas City or Buffalo, hopefully.
Hmm.
What do you think? And thanks for taking my call.
You said Detroit and the Chargers?
Yeah.
Perfect. Thanks, Mitch.
Wow.
What's popping?
Wow.
Look at Mitch deep in the vocab bag.
Look at that. Yeah, I don't think the Chargers are going to be there in the end just because I think Baltimore and Buffalo and Kansas City are so good. Like all three of those?
If they're the top tier, the Chargers are, I think, in their own tier for me.
After those teams?
Of the 7 playoff teams, those 3 are in the first tier.
Okay.
Then it's Chargers, and then it's whoever else. And okay. I think it's pretty clear cut.
Okay, so you don't like Pittsburgh?
Nope.
You don't like Houston?
Nope.
And you don't like Denver?
No.
Okay, so that's it.
That's not insane.
No, that's not insane. No, I mean, I like Houston a little bit. I probably put Houston and the Chargers in the same tier.
Hey, do you want to know what's funny? Baltimore, Buffalo, and Kansas City all have 12 or more wins. They're the first tier. Yeah. LA is the only team with 11 wins. They're the second tier. The rest of them all have 10.
Oof.
So I have very smartly tiered them by record. You're all welcome.
Yeah.
No, I actually, if you're going to go off the beaten path, I don't hate that.
No, I'm with you.
Shout out to Mitch. Shout out to the Oak Grove Kia Talk Line. And shout out to Jesse Toppy, who's going to join us next. We got mad props to go through. We'll talk about NFL playoff matchups. We'll talk maybe a little Celtics. Mm-hmm. Jesse's a big Celtics guy. Is he concerned with the Kings coming into town?
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about all that next. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Hitter.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James Hamm, Kyle Madsen, and Jesse Toppia joining us. As he does for the handoff, not every Monday, but most Mondays when we do Mad Props.
Just about.
Yeah. Good week for me and James in Mad Props, not so much for Jesse.
There was only one I was kind of concerned about.
Which one was that?
Oh.
The Jake Moody one.
Oh.
I saw the tweet and I was like, oh, it's looking up.
We're so back.
Yeah.
let's get into it now, and then we can talk about some other stuff. Mad Props, here it is with myself, James Hamm, and Jesse Toppia.
It's time for Mad Props. Two games, two props. Which number will be higher? That's for Kyle and James to decide.
And Jesse.
Here's and Jesse. Mad Props. Also Jesse. Jesse Toppia in the building. He produces D'Lo and KC. That show is coming up next. Let's get started. Josh Dobbs pass attempts or DeMar DeRozan points? James and I both thought Josh Dobbs would be putting that thing in the air. Pause. Or DeMar DeRozan points. Which one is going to be higher? 43 pass attempts for Josh Dobbs. 29 points for DeMar DeRozan against the Memphis Grizzlies.
I'm not going to lie. I feel still good about that. I wasn't expecting Josh Dobbs to throw the ball.
Why do you feel good about that?
Who's expecting Josh Dobbs to throw the ball 40-plus times?
Clearly James and I.
No, just relax. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. Not 40.
Yeah, high five.
Whatever.
I'm just looking here. It says we both picked it, and
you didn't,
and you hadn't.
It's fine. I'm just saying, 29 points. I figured would have been enough going into the weekend.
So if we had told you, that's interesting. If I had known for sure, if I said, "Hey, DeMar DeRozan is going to score 29 points," does Josh Dobbs go higher or lower than that?
Does Josh Dobbs throw the ball 43 times if Isaac Randle doesn't get hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they were getting smoked.
That's true.
You probably would have had to.
Whatever.
Also, Patrick Taylor was really good.
Sure.
109 yards.
Salute
Patrick Taylor.
Sometimes you lose some.
Bad beat here. Isaac Arendo rushing yards or Kings total after three quarters.
Yeah, huh? I don't think I won this one either.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
James and I both won Kings total. Jesse went Isaac Arendo rushing yards. Just 5 rushing yards. Isaac Arendo got hurt.
I might have not even got on the board this weekend.
No, you did. If we wanted to go like spirit of the game instead of like rules of the game, the Niners starting running back, Patrick Taylor, had 109 rushing yards, which
right
is
track.
More than the Kings' 102 points that they had through three quarters against the Grizzlies.
102 is a lot of points through three quarters.
102 is so many points.
Yeah.
And
they didn't, like, bury them.
I didn't take into account the Kings might be back.
They might be back.
I had some thoughts.
Ricky Pearsall targets or De'Aaron Fox points, rebounds, De'Aaron Fox rebounds and assists. James and I both went De'Aaron Fox rebounds and assists. He had 8. Jesse, you went Ricky Pearsall targets. He had 8. We're bang on the number.
Bravo, Kyle. Bravo.
Thank you. That's big time. That's a Jesse, actually. Jesse was the one who went De'Aaron rebounds and assists.
That's true,
as
yeah.
As the stat. We had to adjust that one on the fly because, what did I have? Keegan? Keegan was out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you produce.
Yeah, shout out to Jesse. Nice work. Juwan Jennings targets or Kevin Herter field goal attempts. Juwan Jennings got ejected and still blew Herter out of the water in this one. We all went Juwan Jennings. He had 10 targets just in the first half. 10 freaking targets. Kevin Herter only 3 field goal attempts against the Grizzlies.
I'd never know with that guy.
It's easy work for us. 49ers total points or Kings bench total points. James Hamm, you picked the Kings bench. They scored 25 points. Jesse and I went with the 49ers. They scored 24 points.
Trey Lyles did a lot of heavy lifting in this one.
A lot.
We had it. If he's not perfect, if he just doesn't light it up the whole game, we're fine.
The trail three that just loudly went through the net was like, oh, no.
I will tell
we're
you.
Trouble.
If not for Trey Lyles, we would have been fine.
I counted up the 25 after the game. I was like, we're in trouble.
We were in the locker room, and Trey had his towel. He got dressed. He had his towel. And they have a giant laundry bin, and he went to throw it in the laundry bin and missed. And I said, I think that's the only shot you missed all night.
It literally was.
He's like, I think you're right.
Shout out Trey Lyles.
Jake Moody missed field goals, or Alex Len missed field goals. We all went Jake Moody, and salute to us, and salute to Jake Moody, who went 1 for 2. Alex Len went 2 for 2. He did not miss a shot against the Grizzlies. We're all winners on that one. James Hamm, a perfect week. 5-0-1 for James Hamm. I went 4-1-1. Jesse goes 2-3-1.
I got the one I wanted, though, so it's a good weekend.
Which one did you want?
The Jake Moody one. That was the fun
was
one.
Big time.
I'm sorry, Jake Moody, by the way. If you're probably not even listening. I don't even know what you're doing, bro, but I'm sorry.
I assure you he's not listening.
I think he's listening.
Insiders fan.
Dude, he's just...
He's got...
He heard that the other day on Friday when we did this. And he was like, oh, man. No, Insiders.
At the dinner table. The guys,
the homies.
The guys, they were talking about me missing.
He's got like 7 different radio stations on right now. Every sports station... Listening for his name to be mentioned, like, no. It's all poor social Jake. Media channels open.
Yeah.
His name in the search window. No.
Can I answer a question real quick from the chatty house?
Yeah. I've seen it a few times. Yeah, man.
Alfonso
yeah,
Valdez. Tyreek Hill wants out. Jesse, thoughts? Little does everyone know, I've been trying to trade Tyreek Hill to Kyle Madsen, the 49ers, for like the last month and a half.
Jesse and I have been working the phones on this.
Yeah, no, I'm not moved by that at all. I've been trying to trade Tyreek for like 2 months now. It's fine. Whatever, brother. The parameters of the deal we're working on right now is Debo, a 3rd and a 6th for Tyreek.
Yeah.
But Kyle won't budge on the 6th. He wants to give me a 7th, so we're kind of stuck right now.
Oh. Yeah.
We're at an impasse. What if he gives you a 6th, but you give him a 7th back?
I could do that. I could do that.
I'm down with a 6th. As long as it's a 2026 6th.
Oh.
No, it's got to be this year. I need it for this year. Yeah, I mean, Tyreek wants out. That's fine. Like I said, I've been trying to trade him for like 2 months.
I don't like Tyreek Hill very much, but what I rock with is that he's just like, nah, I'm done. I'm out of here.
He's a troll. He's a troll. Like, he's just whatever. He's a weird player. Like, he's really good.
Weird guy.
Yeah.
Like, weird guy.
I don't know.
Goes from nearly 2,000 yards to, did he get to 1,000 this year?
No.
And no, maybe
that
not.
Was the question.
Oof.
They threw 2 safeties about 20 yards deep, and that was that.
That was the question.
Tough look for our guy.
That was like, you know, why did you not get to 1,000 yards?
Now that the Miami Dolphins are officially eliminated, are you happy it went down that way?
Like how they got eliminated? Yeah, I guess, because like once Denver went up 14-0, I was like, all right, I'm going to fire up the PS5, and we're good. Like, it's over. Dude, so bad. I'm watching the game. I'm watching the Dolphins game. And not like, oh, let me click to Denver, whatever. Check over. Denzel Mims, touchdown. Oh, that's tough. Whatever. Go back. Watching the game still. Click over again, Denver. Cortland Sutton, touchdown. It's done. We're done. Every time I clicked over, it was a touchdown. Legit.
I think it's your fault.
Maybe.
The Dolphins didn't win anyway, so.
Yeah, but I think they checked out once. They saw it was 14-0, too. I saw the Jets game. They were playing highlights of the Denver touchdowns and all that.
Oof.
959 yards for Tyreek Hill.
Tough year.
And he played all 17 games.
Oh, my Lanta.
After having...
The quarterback situation was rough, though.
Led the league last year at 1799, and 13 touchdowns led the league as well.
Tyreek wasn't really great this year, either, though, even with the backups.
Yeah.
He just had a lot of weird drops.
He's checked out.
Yeah,
he said as much.
Yeah.
Said he's done. Jesse Tapia.
That's what they call me.
You believe the Kings are back? You said you didn't account for that in Mad Props, but now we've seen 2 games since that. They beat the Grizzlies.
They
steamroll the Warriors.
They might be back. I'm watching. I don't even care if they necessarily win or lose, but there seems to be an identity with this team.
If they were at 0.
Yeah.
When they fired Mike Brown. What if 100% is all the way back, what percentage are they of that scale are they on?
I'm feeling off the top of my head about 80-85%.
Because
I feel like the issue with the Kings before this was just there was no rhyme or reason to how they played. It was always just ugly, and you didn't know what you were going to get. Last few games, I feel like, all right, like whether they – well, they've won, obviously, the last 4, but it's kind of just looks the same now. There's an identity to it.
It looks very 2022-ish.
Yeah. I was texting the guys dealing with here yesterday or whatever. It's like, oh, yeah, Beam Team 1 might be back.
That's kind of what it looks like.
Intriguing, isn't it? How it's just like a tweak here, a tweak there, and boom. like you're off and running.
And I hated firing Mike Brown too. I said it on Thursday last week. I hated it again. Might have been wrong. Maybe.
I'm fully on board with Bingham.
Yeah, might have been wrong about that.
Like, I'm just, even if they finish this season 500, it's just really clear that change needed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of how the rest of this season goes. Whether they, and that's why I said I'm not necessarily concerned with the wins and losses. My because if Trey Lyles doesn't hit a bunch of threes against Memphis, maybe they lose. But it's like the energy is different. The vibe is different. And I think that's super, super important when you're just trying to get back to just get back onto like level footing.
Yes.
Just stop falling. And not only have they stopped falling, I think they've landed and now I think they're climbing back up. And that was, I don't think that was going to happen until they moved on from.
They're back in the sense though, where it's like, all right, yeah, this is the squad we're running with the rest of the season. Like, no, you should probably still make a couple moves.
Yeah. And I think one of my biggest concerns was I did not want to see them do, you know, like fire Mike Brown, insert Doug Christie, and then just let Doug fail. Like, because that was on the table that, like, he didn't capture the imagination of the locker room and that we saw a 7-21 stretch like Tyrone Corbin.
That's kind of honestly what I felt like it was going to be going in.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Tyrone Corbin. I think Tyrone Corbin's always been a good coach. You know, he was a really, really solid NBA player, the type of player that usually becomes a really good coach. And to watch things spin out like they did in, what was that, 2015 or whatever, it felt like we're heading towards that. And maybe here in Sacramento, we are trained to see the failure after the coach gets fired because it's happened so many times. Mm-hmm. But maybe it's different this time. And I'm at least intrigued, and I'm also, I'm glad that, you know, Doug has an opportunity here to potentially fight his way into the job long term and show that he's the guy that can, you know, sort of deliver them from what was like a season heading towards a catastrophic end with, you know, good chance that De'Aaron Fox is gone, a good chance that Monty McNair gets fired, a good chance that they have to blow most of this thing up. Maybe you retool and try to rebuild around Sabonis, but you could see where that's where this might be heading. And five games in, I think we're all like, huh, I don't feel that way nearly as bad. The doom and gloom is kind of gone.
Shout out Doug, too. He's showing some fire out there running on the court. He's going to get tossed eventually this season. Like, he will get tossed, but we love it. Yeah.
Hey, real quick, I wanted to bring this up, and then I want to talk about Keon Ellis. Doug, in his pregame presser the other day, said that he got the idea to take the team to the roof after their win against, was it Philly? I think it was the Philly game.
Yeah.
After they beat Philly because of a security guard.
Shout out to Kevin.
We love Kevin.
So Kevin is in the Jerry Reynolds hallway. He wears glasses. He's a guy who takes your bag and puts it through the machine.
Oh, yeah, we love Kevin.
Yeah, salute. Kevin's a good dude. So Kevin saw Doug and showed him pictures because he got to go on the roof and see the actual beam and said, hey, this is something.
So, right, and Doug went, hey, did what he had to do to get the team.
Yeah.
I stopped listening to Doug's explanation of what happened because he said he had to go to the team store to buy a hat. Our head coach can't get a hat?
I mean,
you're a hat guy.
Rules are rules, Kyle. Like, what?
That's
Doug
insane.
Gets a free hat and everyone gets a free hat? I'm just playing.
Head coach says, can I get a hat? And you go, yeah, which one?
Yeah. We'll go. Just Doug. All right, yeah, go ahead, Doug. Pick whatever you want.
Yeah, take it. Walk out of here. Mm-hmm. We'll expense it. Whatever.
And as somebody who has golfed with Doug, I'm very surprised that he does not have a Sacramento Kings hat. Maybe he just wanted a white one. But
I love the one he picked out a great one.
You think Doug was thrown off when they told him, yeah, that's going to be $13.50 for the hat?
No, I don't think he was thrown off. I definitely think he went in there like, I'm going to pay for this hat, but kind of expecting like they're going to be like, coach,
all right,
take
Doug,
it.
Yeah.
Discount.
It's all you. Take it.
It's on the house.
Free $99. And then when they went, yeah, that's going to be
$42.
Yeah. Well, yeah, sure, you get some kind of discount. If media gets a discount,
30%.
I'm sure Doug gets a discount.
Yeah.
Even if it's half off, they're like,
if Doug wanted to take all the hats off of the rack, it would have been fine.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Like, hey, I
just think it's insane that the head coach of the team had to pay. You think Kyle Shanahan has to pay for anything he's wearing on the sideline? No chance.
There's a couple of equipment guys who are probably looking around like, okay, I didn't know that happened. Maybe he should have just asked the room.
Maybe he did. Maybe Doug is a big hat guy and went and looked at the free hats available to the team and went, pass. Need the team store.
Mm.
But even still, if that was the case, team store employee, back up your guy. I need this top to bottom organization, same page. Somebody pay for Doug's hat.
Katrina in the chat saying $13.50 if I bought a hat recently. No, I haven't, but yeah, that's a low number. It's probably like $20 or more.
I thought you were
that.
Saying with a discount. Wait, oh, no. You think a hat costs $20?
I just threw out a random number.
Oh,
I've,
no. That team store?
I don't think I've ever bought a hat in my life.
Oh, bro.
Yeah.
We're talking.
You used to, so back in the day, you used to be able to get it fitted for like $20. And that was.
Are they like $40 now, hats?
You're like, if you want just a regular, if you wanted to go get a Boston Red Sox fitted on field hat, you're out like $40 to $42 depending on the store before tax.
That's absurd.
Mm.
Yeah. You could go like the cleanup brand or the cleanup style from 47 brand. That's like the Sac State one I'm wearing right now. A dad hat, as it's often referred to. This at the Lids, it inside Doco. I was actually going to buy a hat before we met up for coffee the other day, James. $34 for this style of unstructured hat.
Yeah.
And that's about the cheapest you're going to find from like a name brand.
When I went to the Rivercats game, I bought a hat.
Mm-hmm.
It was expensive.
Yeah, man.
I have a lot of hats, though.
Why are hats so expensive? You guys are just willy-nilly paying these prices?
Yeah. I was telling the way I get out from under the like scrutiny of why you buy a lot of hats is like, at least I'm not a shoe guy.
Yeah.
I can be a shoe guy where I have this many pairs of shoes because I have well over 100 hats. It's so many. I could have a bunch of pairs of shoes that are all like 100 to 200 plus each. These hats, I can buy 3 hats for the price of 1 pair of shoes.
It's facts.
So,
put it that way.
Right? I'm saving money is the way I see it. Anyways. Kings, give Doug a hat.
That's amazing.
I'm going to go into the team store and I'm going to buy a bunch.
Like, oh, no, it seems like that's how the team store makes their money. So,
I'm surprised he didn't have a beanie. I am surprised that Doug didn't go with a beanie because they were going on the roof and it was cold.
Mm.
Yeah, so I would have not gone with a baseball hat. I would have gone with a...
I love that he's rocking the hat in the presser, though.
Well, if you're going to spend 40-something bucks on a hat, you better wear it.
There's no way. Okay, so hang on. Do we think... There's no chance he paid full price, right?
No, I'm going to believe that because it's just way more hilarious.
Team points.
Yeah.
That'll be $48.32, Doug.
Like, Doug's walking up to the roof or whatever. Yeah, guys, I'm down $40. I had to buy this hat.
Okay, so do we think he expensed it?
No, I think he just bought it. Doug, I don't know.
You think
Doug
he's just
Christie?
Good guy. Exactly. Doug Christie is like, I'm giving the team my money.
Yes.
Exactly. That's what I think. Yeah.
Go get me Cam Johnson.
Go get me Cam Johnson.
I
saved you on the
hat. Luxury tax.
I saved you on the hat.
Oh, I can't believe Doug Christie had to buy a hat.
And maybe he didn't. Maybe he just said that for the media and he walked in there like, take whatever hat you want.
That's the story we'll tell.
Yeah.
It's a lot more. Doug
Christie paid full price for his Kings hat. Yeah. You heard it here first.
That's right.
Can you ask him tonight?
I'll ask
him. I might go. I'm going to be down there. I'm not planning on attending the game. I might go to the pregame presser just to ask.
Just say, and then leave. About that hat.
Hey, Doug.
Yeah, how much
you
after
said you
tax?
Bought a hat.
How much after tax was that hat?
Did you expense that? Vivek, pay for Doug's hat.
Amazing. Amazing.
Hashtag pay for Doug's hat.
Vibes
I'm going to start a GoFundMe.
For the hat?
For Doug Christie's hat.
Yeah, we're going to get you your
$40. I need $45, everybody. Can Venmo me. NFL playoff matchups are set.
Yep.
Which ones do we... Let's run through these real quick.
Okay.
I don't want to like dive into the games. We'll do that on Friday. Let's rank the games. I want to do this real quick while you're here, Jesse. Chargers-Texans. Out of their 6 games.
This is what we call the NBA TV game for the NFL.
Bro, did you see that thing about the Texans wild card games? Every single wild card game in Houston Texans history has taken place at 1:30 p.m. Pacific time on Saturday.
Oh.
That is the Texans time slot.
Oh, that's brutal. Yeah. That means they don't care about you.
Correct.
I definitely think that's like a top, for this weekend, a top 2-3 game.
Yeah.
Chargers-Texans?
Yeah, that's going to be a great
game. It'll be a good matchup. It's going to be boring because it's Chargers-Texans, but I'll be watching that.
Yeah,
I'll be rooting for the Chargers in that one too. I think Chargers take that.
That's at number 6 for me.
Oh,
well,
okay.
We haven't gone through the list.
Yeah, what else do we got?
Steelers at Ravens.
Yeah, I don't want to watch that at all.
I can't wait.
That's number 6.
Give me Hines Ward and Ray Lewis, and maybe I'll be tapped in. Steelers don't look good. I think the Ravens are going to win that one.
Okay. Broncos at Bills?
Bills should steamroll them.
Yeah.
Not because of the Broncos, but just the Bills.
That's actually going to be six for me.
Okay.
I'm putting Chargers Texans at four.
That's six. I'm going to put the Ravens at five, although that could change.
Yeah, the Steelers aren't holding their weight anymore in that matchup right now.
No, they're kind of cooked. Uh-huh. They feel cooked.
Where do we land on Bucks Commanders?
Oh,
that's your 5 o'clock Sunday game.
I want to watch that.
Yeah, I like that one.
Okay. Yeah.
Vikings Rams Monday night.
Oh, yuck.
Yuck?
Don't do that, James. No,
yuck?
Don't do that.
I'm not.
That's I can see either team
that
winning that one.
Yeah,
that'll be a good one right there.
I'm hyped for that one. Packers Eagles should be really good too.
Packers Eagles would be fun.
That's the game. That's one.
My greatest fear is that the Eagles are gonna punk those dudes.
And just go all the way back to the Super Bowl?
Yeah. I don't know about going to the Super Bowl necessarily. I think the Packers, there's real 28-6 potential there.
Mm.
Packers have been the team I've been kind of watching. Like, no, watch out for them. Like, they're going to do some. So
I think don't let me down
right here.
But I like those really two teams that are equally match games. That's why I like the Chargers, Texans, and
see. I think the Chargers are pretty significantly better than the Texans.
We'll see.
I think I don't know about significantly, but I'm with you. Like, I think the Chargers are going to win that one.
I think they're favored.
Herbert has been quietly really good this year.
He's been awesome.
His numbers aren't necessarily the best, but I feel like just the way he's played this season, he's been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Harbaugh is such a gangster.
Yes, he is.
Just a really, really freaking good football coach.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Commanders Bucks should be fun. I'm trying to decide. I think I'm going to go Vikings Rams 1, Commanders Bucks 2, Eagles Packers 3.
That feels fair. Yeah. Throw Chargers Texans at 4.
Okay.
I'm going Chargers Texans at 5. I just love the Steelers Ravens matchup. Even without Hines Ward and Ray Lewis and all that.
Yeah, but we've seen
Mike Tomlin's going to have those dudes ready to play.
I don't know, bro. Russell Wilson, kind of the first few weeks were cool.
He
was about 70% back. Now he's about 30% back. George Pickens, you never know what you're going to get on any given Sunday with that guy.
But you know what you're getting out of Derrick Henry every single time.
Yeah, I think the Ravens win that one by two scores.
What I am looking forward to with the Ravens, I need the Lamar Jackson narrative to change.
Oh, yeah.
Because the face plants in the playoffs... Even if you lose, because in the way we discuss these things and the way these things get discussed, you can't even lose. You can't even play well and lose.
No.
So I'm rooting for Lamar Jackson. I would love to see the
How do we feel
about Mike Tomlin if we're up against it right now? Too? How do we feel about Mike Tomlin if they're one and done again?
Thumbs down.
Okay.
Yeah. Good coach. Is he a great coach?
He needs some time to rebuild that thing.
D'Lo and Casey coming up next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube has sponsored the program. Want to remind everybody, we have college football tonight, the FCS Championship, the Big Sky's own Montana State Bobcats against the North Dakota State Bison.
Mm.
Be there.
Be there, right here, 4 o'clock on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Until tomorrow at 10 a.m., that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Drink water and be nice to people.